The joy of seeing all of us together has been extraordinary, certainly for me, and it's passed in a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine? I mean, I've been yakking all these Monday nights. Get out of here. I beg your pardon?
You said next year you're waiting until 2014?
No, I mean, sorry, next fall, the fall, yeah. We'll start again in the fall. So I just want to acknowledge that, and I want to acknowledge where Michelle is. He is a beekeeper on our property, and the bees have swarmed. And a dear friend of ours called early in the morning and said, there's a swarm of bees on my property. So he then calls the great beekeeper, who goes and gets those bees. And the bees have to be put in the new hives at night on our property. So the beekeeper and Michelle, they're going to all dress up in their little bee outfit. And then they're going to take the new bees and put them in the beehives that have been emptied. I mean, this is the whole big deal, right? So I just want to acknowledge, and all of us just say a little prayer, that the new bees will be happy. You know, they'll be happy in their new home. Because the old bees were so happy that they just made tons of honey, and it was fantastic. And Michelle said, I'm just so proud of my bees. And they're gone. I said, well, honey, that happens. So that's where he is this evening, and it's wonderful. And nature is so incredibly divine that sometimes we forget the magic of it. And if any of you have read about how bees do what they do, it's absolutely unbelievable. They are of such a nature in terms of transformation from form to form to form to form throughout their entire life, and how they operate in harmony together, and how they know each other and the work that they do. And without them, we would have no vegetation on the planet and nothing to eat. So bees are absolutely essential to our lives and part of the divine order, you know. Now, my feeling is that each of us pollinates in our lives in very particular and beautiful ways, do we not? And we do it through loving others, appreciating them, giving them a smile, giving them a hug, being present with them, really present with every single person that we know in our lives. And we do a little pollination when we do that, yes? We bring a little extra energy, a little extra knowing that they realize that someone has really seen them, recognized them, and appreciated them in a deep way. And most of us, my experience was growing up in the 50s, wasn't a whole lot of that going on. Everybody had a lot of other agendas, but that wasn't one of them. The growth of the consciousness on the planet is such that no matter where I have traveled, there has been that consciousness. And that giving and receiving in a very, very beautiful way. So I just want to acknowledge a level of transformation that has occurred just in humanity as a whole. And all of us have incarnated at this time to be part of that. That's one of the reasons that we embodied at this time. We didn't embody by chance, darlings. We embodied with great purpose. We said that we would come into the body and that we would, through the work that we do and the presence that we evolve into, bring that love, that light, that peace, and that joy to everybody around us. And to me, that is just an exquisite opportunity to love. And one of the things that I would ask everyone, if they're interested, is if they wish to attend Buddha Abides. Maybe some of you do not know about this. This is a wonderful celebration of the Buddha, and it is May 11th, and I believe that's his birthday, May 11th, and to June 5th. And let me get the address here. It's going to be at 1324 State Street, Suite J. And we have gone for several years and absolutely loved it. And artists from all over everywhere contribute pieces around the Buddha.
Just for a little more clarification,
yes.
It's across the street from the Arlington Theater.
Yes.
In the same little shopping center.
Yes, and it's at the back of that shopping center. Yeah. So if you want to go and have a lovely croissant, you can just go almost next door and have some wonderful French pastries. So have a French pastry and be with the Buddha. Mm-hmm. I mean, how good is that? If you can eat something fabulous and be with the Buddha. Many years ago now, the Buddha came to me and asked if I would work with him for 2 years, which I did. And as a result of that work with him, energetically, when I go to Buddhist countries, I have a completely different experience because I have had the work with him on the inner planes. And this evening, because I know we have new people here, I'd like to just tell you a little bit about my own history so that you'll know. I'm a mystic. I had my first mystical experience when I was 6. I had it with Jesus. Since that time, I've been having mystical experiences throughout my life. And this evening, as I was preparing, I sort of reviewed in my mind my experiences with Jesus, with Mother Mary, with Kuan Yin. Those of you who may not know Kuan Yin, she lived in China. She was a magnificent healer and a being. We call her the feminine aspect of the Buddha, because she held that same Buddhic energy in the feminine form, and the Buddha as well in my world. So when I look at the relationship of the male and female energies that have influenced me on the inner and on the outer, it's been very interesting that it's been both East and West. And when I was experiencing the energy of the Buddha and also working with Jesus, they said to me, you know, we are brothers. And we incarnated at different times and in different parts of the world to bring this energy balance between the East and the West. And I said, well, of course you did. Absolutely. And now we're seeing, instead of it being a polarized thing where Buddhism over here and Christianity is over here, what we're seeing is, again, this wonderful cross-pollination where we can be one with all of it. We can choose in any moment. It doesn't make any difference what the name of this energy happens to be that's on the earth plane. It's what makes your heart sing and what opens you even more and more within your consciousness. So for those who say, our God is the only God, I honor that. That's their truth. And they came into the body to experience exactly that. I didn't come into the body to experience that this time. I came into the body to experience everybody. Any deity, all deities, every culture that I've ever been in, when they say, well, this is our deity, and they eat fire, and I go, I dig that. And then here's another one, and they do this, and they do that, and I go, this is terrific. Because for me, everything is one if we open our hearts to receive it. Everything is one. And if we say it has to look exactly like this, then you know you have a soul agreement that you made prior to coming into the body, that you were just going to focus on the one this time. You're going to say, you know, I'm going to really just focus. That's going to be my thing. So I appreciate those that are holding a singular energy and those of us who just say, you know, I just want to embrace it all. Could you just let me have more, not less? Let me have the richness of every culture, every point of view, everything. And when someone says, well, you know, it's only this way, and I say, you know, I'm so happy you're holding that, because I don't have to hold that because you're holding it so well. I don't have to do that. I'm so pleased when I meet people like that. And I love them for what they're doing. And they're just standing firm, and I go, all right, this is good. And if we allow ourselves to look at the big picture of who we are in our world, not only in this extraordinary place called Santa Barbara, but how we are envisioning and holding the world. There is a man by the name of Paul Ray who has been studying the consciousness of the planet. And what he has found is that there are individuals all over the planet which he has called cultural creatives. These are individuals who have a worldview, who believe that there is a balance going on within all the aspects that are happening in the world, as in war and peace, etc. There are people who not only have a global view, but they also realize that who they are is an integral part of the great fabric of the consciousness that is on the planet. These are people who are very creative in their own way. They can either be artists as such, or they may be involved in art in some way, or they may just love beautiful music, or beautiful dance, or beautiful whatever. These are people who often, as he says in his writings, they're people who don't even know whether their next door neighbors are cultural creatives or not. And when Michelle and I went to this conference, and he talked about these cultural creatives, you know, and Michelle and I said, you know, we realized we only knew cultural creatives. We didn't know anybody who wasn't a cultural creative. But whether they actually had the idea that they were may not have occurred to them. But in my life, as I have watched the culture change, I mean, I grew up in the 50s where everything was in a box. Then was the 60s, and I was the 60s child, and, you know, did the whole nine yards, all of it. It was fabulous. And then we got to the 70s, and that was like Vavoomba, whatever that was. Then we got to the 80s, and it was sort of like, I think we're going to do this. And then we got to the 90s, and it was like, you know, maybe this, maybe that. A lot of experimentation still going on. And here we are in the 2000s, and this realization that the cultural creative is the one who changes with all the changes. They're not stuck in any one place. So probably everyone sitting in this room, because if you got to this room, it means that you're probably a cultural creative. You understand? And the people that gravitate around you and are your friends, they probably are cultural creatives too. And if you have people who come into your life who just can't understand why you are the way you are, but they still like you anyway, okay, they're probably not quite cultural creatives. But they're looking at it. They're sort of sensing that something is going on here, all right? So for many of us, we are so blessed that not only have we found, how shall I say, many circles of relationship in our lives. And some of them intersect, and some of them are quite separate. There are groups where this is who we connect with here, and who we connect with here, and then there are opportunities where we connect with a larger group. Well, the same thing is true in our spiritual life, in that which is in the formless. Many of us, as we experience who we are in our God-centered place, we are then attracted to people who have maybe beliefs that are completely different from ours, but we embrace them because of the knowing that we have of what they're holding within. That deep, sweet, extraordinary thing. And to have open discussion and sharing of not only our differences but our similarities. It's quite a remarkable time in which we live. And I hope that everyone in this group, when you go forth from this place, that you will see and perhaps experience more deeply all the different energies that are coming into our lives with the people that we may glance only for a moment and those that we may spend a lifetime with. It's quite wonderful. And I feel personally so extraordinarily blessed to be here at this time. I think I did a real good soul agreement. I think y'all did too. I'm going to read from this wonderful book, Love Poems from God, and I'm going to read several of them because of what I want to speak about tonight. And I'll give you the name of each of the authors. This is St. Francis of Assisi. It was easy to love God in all that was beautiful. The lessons of deeper knowledge, though, instructed me to embrace God in all things. And all of us have said that we will do this in some way or other, to embrace God in all things. What keeps us alive? Well, this is Meister Eckhart. What keeps us alive? What allows us to endure? I think it is the hope of loving, or being loved. I heard a fable once about the sun going on a journey to find its source, and how the moon wept without her lover's warm gaze. We weep when light does not reach our hearts. We wither like fields if someone close does not rain their kindness upon us. This is Thomas Aquinas. I said to God, "Let me love you." And God replied, "Which part?" All of you," I said. "Dear," God spoke, "you are as a mouse wanting to impregnate a tiger who is not even in heat." That is laughter, thank you. "It is a feat way beyond your courage and strength. You would run from me if I removed my mask." I said to God again, "Beloved, I need to love you, every aspect, every pore." And this time God said, "There is a hideous blemish on my body. Though it is such an infinitesimally small part of my being, could you kiss it if it were to be revealed?" "I will try, Lord, I will try." And then God said, "That blemish is all the hatred and cruelty in this world." This is Hafez. Admit something. Everyone you see, you say to them, "Love me." Of course, you do not say it out loud, otherwise somebody would call the cops. Still, though, think about this, this great pull in us to connect. Why not become the one who lives with a full moon in each eye and is always saying, with that sweet moon language, what every eye in the world is dying to hear, which is, "I love you." And this is St. John of the Cross. You might quiet the whole world for a second if you pray. And if you love, if you really love, our guns will wilt. Now for me, these poems are about recognizing the potential of our love. Recognizing that we don't have to do anything outrageous, we can if we choose, but just being steady on, as I say, in bringing love to every single moment in our day, regardless of how our ego may act or react around that moment. And if we have a spiritual practice and we open our hearts through that practice so that the day will unfold every day and bring us both opportunities to love and challenges to love, and things that we never thought we were ever going to love that we're being asked to love. Is everybody getting this? We want to know deep within us that whatever unfolds in our lives, it makes no difference. We are not judging what comes before us. The ego wants to do that. But if our love is powerful and clear within us, we will not judge it. We will embrace it. And we will love it, even as it is walking toward us. And even if the ego says, "No, not this," but we say, "Yes, this." It would not be coming in our lives if it weren't needing, wanting, asking for the love which we are to embrace that which comes toward us. And as I have expressed the first time I went through the death and dying process with all these beautiful people in my life, and when it came toward me, I said, "I don't know if I'm going to be strong enough and have the love that it will take to be with each of these beloved as they pass." And the truth was that I was ready, else it would not have come unto me. Most of the time, we do not know the strength of our love until something comes unto us and we're asked, "This too. This too will you love. This too will you take into your heart. And is there anything that you wish to exclude?" I was raised in a family where there was a lot of exclusion. Anybody else? Raise your hand. Thank you. Yes. There was exclusion over here and over there and up, down, all around. And suddenly, when someone says to us, "Why would you exclude?" And I go, "I want to be inclusive. I want to include everything. And that which had been excluded, that I had been brought up to exclude, I had to then, in my heart, completely shift the consciousness within me so that I could embrace that. And as a result of many of my embracings of the exclusions, to put it mildly, I had to remove myself from the family, as often happens. In order for us to be the loving consciousness that we are growing to be, we often have to step out of that circle. Now, that does not mean that I could not go back into the circle. It just meant that when I went back into the circle, something else would happen. And when I was outside the circle, then, of course, it was embracing everything. And it didn't make any difference what it was. But in a way, as we learn through polarity when we're on the earth plane, I needed the polarity of exclusion, right? So when I moved to inclusion, I would know that this is what I was choosing, to include, not exclude. And then when I would return to that which was excluded within my family entity, I could quietly include it. And no one would ever be the wiser. But my truth and my love were still there. Do you see how that works? Mm-hmm. So if you look at anything in your life that you're now excluding, anything at all, and with these wars and all the energies that are rampaging upon the planet, not only to Mother Earth, but to all the aspects of creation that are going on, to be able to hold both polarities, not to exclude and say, that's wrong, that's bad. No, we relinquish that. The ego is simply not a part of judging that to be good, bad, right, wrong. We simply include. And in our love, as it has been said, our love is powerful enough that if we're truly in prayer and truly quiet, guns will melt. And I don't mean just the guns. I mean those other kinds of guns that wound. Ooh, that wound. And no one ever sees them, but they feel them. Right? I knew how to wound with a word. Anybody else know how that feels? Yeah. Wound with a word. I know exactly how to do that. So I am very aware that I cannot wound anymore. I cannot have those words. I cannot use those words. And if they are brought unto me, then it is for me to love the speaker of those words. That's my job now. Because when the divine said, no more, then I had to practice zipping my lip. And this opportunity would come along and be so juicy. And I'd say, okay, man, I'm just gonna zing them a real good one. You know, I don't know how to do that. I practice with all my siblings. And I just wait. And then the voice would say, dear, we're not doing that. And I'd go, oops. So I would let whatever would come. And I would just hold my center, and it would pass. But sometimes I'd have to do a little work on the inside. Just do a little bit of work, just to calm down the heartbeat and, you know, the old patterns. Because when you are in that place of charging energy at other people, some of it is because you get a high, you know? You get that adrenal pump, you get that rush. You get the heartbeat, you get the whole nine yards. And if you're not doing it anymore, then there's none of that. None of that. So it is a very interesting change of energies to go to that calm, peaceful place rather than that place of always being ready on the trigger. Okay? And for me, one of my own experiences around this was when the divine said, you're going to lie down on the floor and not move. And I was a dancer and choreographer, so I'd spent my whole life moving. And I had to learn to be absolutely still. And this went on for several months. And in that complete stillness, I got to review literally every moment of my life. Every moment. And in many of those moments, I had to say, please forgive me. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. And then I had to say to me, I, Mary, forgive you. I forgive you. I forgive you. Because it is part of our energies that we can forgive self, not only forgiving the other. And this is a very important time in our lives when we're being asked to expand in many ways that we never thought possible. Never thought possible. And if you're not having those experiences, just wait. They will come unto you, and you will be able to experience them. Right now we have new neighbors. They have a dog. I love dogs. The dog is penned up. The dog moans and cries all day long, from 6:30 in the morning until 10:30 at night. And the pen happens to be right above our bedroom. And when it began, my heart broke open, and I just couldn't believe it. And their property and our property, it's up above, and our property is right down below. So I climbed the hill, and there's ivy there, and I peeked through the ivy, and here's this beautiful dog, and he's in this pen, and it's just, and I go, okay, I'm just gonna hold that everything's gonna be fine. The next day I go for my walk in the morning. Of course, I'd said to the Divine, you know, please help me be present with this. And I'm walking up the hill, and there's a woman in front of me, and she has a dog, and I haven't seen that dog before. But then I think that's the dog from the cage. And I walk up, and she turns around, and she said, oh, hello. And I said, hello. And she said, I'm new in the neighborhood. I said, oh, you are? I said, and where do you live? And she said, I live right over there. And I said, well, I live right over there. And I said, your dog is beautiful. And she said, yes. And I said, what is the dog's name? And the dog's name is Rex. And I went, okay, Rex, we're going to have a good relationship. But it was not appropriate for me to say, you know what, I got to talk to you about this. The Divine said, this is when you hold your counsel, darling. The moment will come, and then you'll be able to do it. In the meantime, I am now talking to Rex every day. Climb up the hill, part the ivy. Hi, Rex, how you doing? And Rex just goes, hi, how you doing, you know? I honor that the Divine creates what I call these divine setups for us to see if we can just lovingly embrace every moment. And there was a part of me that wanted to rush over and see these people and say, you know what? I have something I need to say to you. And the Divine said, no, dear. We let it unfold. I went, okie dokie, I can do this. So I'm practicing the unfoldment. And of course, that was the Divine setup that I would meet her. Now she knows who I am. And yesterday, Michel is out, you know, doing his garden thing. And the couple comes over and they talk. And he comes back, Michel does, and said, they're such a nice couple. They're just lovely people. And they've got three small children, and one's in their 50s, and the other's in her 40s. And, you know, and he's just, you know, babbling along. It's just wonderful. And I said, so what about Rex? You know? Tell me about Rex. I want to hear. And he said, well, it just didn't come up. And he, being French, of course, he had to kind of, you know, and I said, okay, darling, I get it. So we're going to let it unfold, and hopefully by next week I will have chapter 2 of the story. But understand, the part of me that would judge that whole situation as less than, it was only for me to love Rex. Okay? The mom and dad are going to do whatever mom and dad are going to do. But I can love Rex, and I can speak with him, and I can hold him in love until whatever unfolds, unfolds. Okay? And before, my energy would be, well, you know, we have to take care of this. Okay? But the pen is large enough that he's not being captured or anything like that. He doesn't have a run. But the fact that she was walking him was wonderful. So I said, okay, so there's some nurturance going on here, and that made me feel much more comfortable about the situation. How many of us have these moments where we could really rush in and say, okay, here's the way it needs to be, instead of being able to simply hold what is, and I pray for the best and the highest good of everyone in the situation, including Michelle and myself, and Elke, who now goes to visit Rex, my dog Elkie. She goes up and says, "Hey Rex, I'm right here." And so we're waiting to see what will unfold. But while that's going on, the most powerful thing we can do is love. And to keep loving and keep bringing that energy forward so that it can be expressed more fully all the time. So there are four aspects that I've worked on in my life, and I'd like to bring them up to your attention. I'll read them off, and then I'd like to just comment on each one. The first is self-love. The second is self-compassion. The third is self-discipline. The fourth is self-awareness and mindfulness. I can only speak for myself. I was not brought up with self-love. I was brought up to love the other, but at the almost negation of self. And as a result of that, they now call it in psychological terms being codependent, where the other is fully your awareness and self is only there for the other. And the first time I heard about self-love, I said, "I just don't even know how to love myself," because I had felt diminished by my childhood. I had not felt supported or brought forward in any way. So in order to bring self-love, I realized that I had to look at all the parts of myself that I truly wanted to love. And I had never brought my love. I was expecting someone else to do it. That was my practice marriage. I said to my husband, "He's going to love all of me." Well, actually, darlings, it's a two-way street, isn't it? So that was a huge wake-up call for me, to realize that self-love was something that I really needed to bring into the consciousness. Now, every time we experience self-love, what happens to our vibration? It raises. It raises. Every time we diminish ourselves in any way, we lower that vibration. And what we are experiencing as we grow in consciousness is to continually raise our vibration. Now, why would we want to do that? Because as we raise vibration, the awakening is greater and greater the higher the vibration goes. And the more we expand our heart, not only in self-love, but love of the other, what happens? Our heart is continually expanding, continually. So we have two things going on with love. The first is that with self-love, we begin to raise vibration and expand our consciousness. Right? The second is we're opening our heart and allowing the love which we are to be limitless. Now, if you are a fully awake being on this planet, you will be fully expanded in your consciousness and your heart will encompass everything. So if there's anything where you have a little kind of, you know, a little fencing off here and a little compartmentalizing over there, you need to look at what that is. Because all of us in this room are here to wake up this time. Y'all know that, don't you? That's why we're in the room, because we want to wake up. And where two or more are gathered, the energy is multiplied 10,000 times, 10,000 times, darling. That means exponentially, we're already there. But we're in physical form. To do it in the formless is rather a piece of cake, if you don't mind me saying so. But doing it right here, in this form, is quite another thing. And that's why we do the work. That's why we do the work. Self-compassion, Lord Almighty. I didn't even know what compassion was. Compassion? We've been talking about compassion, have we not? In terms of the Buddhic consciousness around compassion, which is that you have empathy for the other because you have that empathy within self. I never had empathy for another. I was told you take care of them, and taking care of them was it. Taking care of them is not being empathetic. Taking care of them is doing what you need to do so that they're going to be better and hopefully well, or whatever the caring is that you're giving that individual. But if you have compassion empathetically, when you are with that individual or those individuals, what will be the outstanding characteristic of your energy? Love. And you will have such empathy for what they are experiencing, that there is nothing that will offend you and what caring you must give them. it will never make you feel less than in the caring that you are giving them. On the contrary, you will feel so blessed that you have the opportunity to be caring for the other and empathetically embracing them in your love. Self-discipline. Not that word. Yes, indeed that word. Now, when I grew up, I came from two parents who were great disciplinarians. Anybody have parents who are disciplinarians? You want to know what you got? Okay. Yeah. Really, really, here was the line, you towed it. Mm-hmm. I know that one now. So growing up with that, you know, I mean, I just love it if I could just put one toe off, you know. I'm a quadruple Scorpio, so then I'd go maybe two toes off. Maybe just run a little bit when they say to walk. It was tough. Okay. And I had to be disciplined. But of course, I chose a profession where if you're not disciplined, you'll never make it. So it served me, but only when I got to the age where I said, oh, I see, A and B equals C. It makes sense. I chose these parents because they were going to be so disciplined that they would show me how I needed to be disciplined when I chose what I wanted to do so that I could really be good at it. When I was dancing in New York, and some of you know this story, and I'd just come out of a class with Martha Graham, and one of her dancers was in the dressing room, and we were changing together, and she was an older woman, older meaning I was in my early 20s, and she was probably in her late 20s. She was early 30s. Early 30s. And I said to her, how do you do it? And she said, do what? I said, do what you do. I wanted to say, because you're so old. But she said, I will tell you in a word. One word, how you will be young for the rest of your life. And I said, tell me that word. And here is the word, ladies and gentlemen, maintenance. And that means discipline. Okay. And I went home and I said, I will never forget this. I will never forget this. This is the truth right here, that every day, the discipline of everything, everything, not only the thoughts I think, the words I speak, how my heart beats, how I enter into the consciousness when I am in prayer, meditation, and contemplation, everything is about that consciousness that I bring to it. And that comes from the discipline of having done it over and over and over and over again. So it is like breathing in and breathing out. And when someone gives me a new point of view or a new aspect, then I add that to my basket in the consciousness that is an evolution of the discipline, quite frankly, of doing it and doing it. But discipline used to be, oh, I don't want to do it. Now, discipline is self-love, and self-love is that discipline. And it's about everything, everything. As dancers, we had to, you know, we danced many, many hours, and many of them were vegetarians. And I said, how do you do that, just eating vegetables? I said, I don't know how you do that. I said, I have to have protein. And I had studied medicine, so I knew that, you know, the tissue breaks down, you have to build the tissue up. You've got to have some protein. And I was dancing, you know, 7 days a week, the whole nine yards. And I realized at the end of the first year that I was there that I had endured, and many of them had not been able to. Because not only did they understand, they did not understand how to take care of their body by nutrition, but also how to take care of their body so that it didn't fall apart. You understand? How we can hone our energies and with love do the self-discipline that is needed. And for many of us, I don't know you all about you all, but only when I fell in love with self-discipline did my life change. And then I said, okay, I've got it. I know now what I need in order to be that which the divine is putting in front of me. I am not creating this path as I go along. This path is coming unto me, and I am stepping upon it as it comes toward me. And if I am not ready, how can I step upon the next level of the path? And the path is not just the path steadily, 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 like this. And we hold with our disciplines the vibration of this level, and then the next, and the next. So if you have prayer, contemplation, or meditation in your life, every time, and I've told you the story, but I'll tell it again, of the great Qigong master who said, every time you practice, you lay down one thin sheet of rice paper. And at the end of your life, you stand upon the mountain of your own creation. Now, what does that mean? It means that every time you do your practice, you're raising the vibration until, what is the mountaintop? You are a fully awake being. And you only get there because you've said, every day, every day, every day. And it means everything. Not only what you drink, what you put in your mouth, how you take care of your body, how you're aware of who you are in your energy field with everyone and everything, and how far does your energy field extend? How far? Just right now while you're sitting there, extend your energy field outside this room, please. You don't have to do it, eyes closed, eyes open, doesn't make a difference. Outside this room, okay. Take in Santa Barbara, please. Take it all the way out past Santa Barbara. Now let's go out to the ocean and over the mountains and down where the fires are and up north. The whole of California, okay. Now I'd like you to extend your consciousness while holding all that, please. And just begin to travel across the United States with your consciousness. Take your energy field and just go right across. Wide expanse. Keep it going. Keep it going. Okay, now you're Middle America. You go beyond Middle America. Keep it going. You continue the travel. Your consciousness goes all the way out now, and you're on the East Coast. You've gone all the way to the Canadian border. You've gone all the way down to Lower Baja. And now from that place, extend 360 degrees around you until you have encompassed the entire planet. You pass Antarctica. Go all the way down, all the way up, all the way around. As soon as you're there, please raise your hand. Okay, now you're holding the earth. Now I'd like you to continue to hold the earth, and I'd like you now to go right up to the moon, please. And while you're going to the moon and encompassing the moon, please continue to hold the earth. And now you're encompassing the moon and you're holding the earth. And now I'd like you to, from the place of the moon, expand your heart and bring the earth into your heart. The moon is in your heart, and now the earth is in your heart. Your heart chakra now encompasses both the moon and the earth. And in your own time, be in this room and continue to hold the moon and the earth while you sit in this room. And when you're fully present here and you have the moon and the earth in your heart, now, there's no reason why you can't hold that 24 hours a day unceasingly for the rest of your embodiment. Because if you do, then what are you doing? What are you doing?
Loving
it. You're loving it. Now, the first time the divine said, okay, we're going to go to the far reaches, I went, okay, I can go to the far reaches. But I had to lie down to go to the far reaches. I couldn't sit up to go to the far reaches. So understand that's just in physical form. Now, when you go into the formless, there's a whole other level of opportunity that awaits us. And for me, I mean, I love form, but the first time I ever experienced the formless, I went, oh my, this is quite fabulous. So I honor that as we have the self-discipline to hold these energies, because that's what it's taking, we are so focused that we're not letting anything else intrude upon what we just did in our visualization. Nothing else intruded for me. I didn't have any other thoughts going on. I was just totally focused on what we were doing. Yes? Now, the same thing is true in the formless. When we allow ourselves in meditation, prayer, or contemplation to allow ourselves to expand beyond this form and to experience the formless, then something else happens. Now, who else is in this room with us tonight, please? Anybody?
Would you ask that question again?
Excuse me?
Would you ask that question?
Yes. Who else is present in this room tonight with us?
Divine.
The divine. Okay, and what form is the divine taking?
All forms.
Mm-hmm. All forms. Okay, so how many souls are in this room right now?
Countless.
Countless souls are in this room right now. Now, why would there be countless souls in this room right now?
They're in the formless.
Mm-hmm. They're in the formless. But why would they come into this room?
Because we're here doing our work.
Do you think that there are not souls in this room who are going, I think they're getting it, hallelujah, all right, you know? They're doing a little jig. They're loving on us. I mean, you know, I don't know if you can feel it. I mean, why do you think we're in this room? We have been bringing energy into this room on Monday night for months. And the call has gone forth. Believe me, when I make these calls, it isn't just for us. Because if you'll notice in the calls, I call and I acknowledge all the souls who are in the room, whether in form or formlessness. Now, if this spooks you out, that's perfectly all right. Be spooked. But if you really want to wake up, you have to be willing to experience the formless in such magnitude beyond anything that we've ever, ever, ever allowed ourselves to experience. Because when you're awake to everything. You're not just awake to what's happening in here or out there, but what is happening in the formless. How many of y'all communicate with anybody in the formless? Everybody raise your hand, anybody does. Okay, if you're not doing it, please start. Please start. Now, choose somebody you like who's on the other side. Work up to the other folks, okay? They're wonderful. They've released all their doo-da-day, but you may not have released your doo-da-day around them. So that's perfectly all right. Just be with the souls that you love. I mean, I'm always in conversation, and they're always, you know, we're always talking to all these wonderful beings. And why not? There is no difference between the formless that I am in form and the formlessness that they are in formlessness. The formless is the formless. It just happens to look like it's pretty solid right here, but actually, no, there's a whole other thing going on. And do you know how radiant our souls are? Do you see the light that is out around and enveloping all of us in this room? I mean, it's like the Aurora Borealis. How many people have seen the Aurora Borealis? Please go on the internet, write in Aurora Borealis. Guess what the Aurora Borealis is? It's the outpicturing of what, of Mother Earth?
The aurora?
It's the outpicturing of what? Of Mother Earth. Her soul. This is that, her soul energy is being shown to us through the aurora borealis. The first time I ever saw it, I went, I mean, and I was sound asleep, and I was on this boat, and I was sleeping on the top deck of this boat, and suddenly my eyes opened, and the sky was alive, and it was dancing with light. And I thought, I've left the body. I think I might have died. Something definitely is happening here. I've never seen it before. It was fabulous. And then I was with this guy, and I went, wake up, wake up. He went, what? I said, look at this. And he went, oh, yeah. I went, whoa, no way. Fantastic. The soul of Mother Earth is so incredibly beautiful. I mean, she expresses herself in nature constantly and in the changing of the sky and the sun and the moon. Oh, my goodness, she's amazing. But if you just want to see that essential consciousness, and there is a beat when you watch the aurora borealis and the way it moves, and it's just unbelievable. And I don't know if on the internet you'll get that view or on your computer, but it's, you know, it's visible, and you'll be able to see it. And if you ever have a chance to go someplace where you can see it, please do, because it is extraordinarily profound. So we all have the capacity to move into the formless at any moment. And often, and I'm hoping that many of you will have an opportunity over the summer to go to the lectures on near-death experience, because one of the things, and this happened to a friend of ours, his name was Tim Tupper. He was a chiropractor here in town. He has since passed, but before he passed, he had a near-death experience. He had diabetes, and he was rushed to the hospital, and he rose up, which is what most people experience, and he rose up, and his consciousness from his soul was above him, and he could hear everybody talking, and he was very pissed about how they were treating him. They said, no, that's not the right thing, but nobody could hear him. He said, they weren't doing the right thing for me, and here I was, you know, life and death. And eventually, another doctor came in, and they did whatever they did, and that was fine. And he said, and after I had watched everything, I came back into my body, and I remembered everything, and I could tell him every conversation, everything. This is what I would call, if you can even call it typical, a typical out-of-body experience. And for many of us who work as soul, we're out-of-body a lot. I know I am. I'm out-of-body a lot. But I have to be very disciplined to be in my body and experience those other elements and energies that are in the formless. Because it's very easy to say, well, I'm just going to go out there and travel around and have a good time. It used to be that the fear, and this was an esoteric teaching that I had years ago, that if we wanted to leave and go as we did today and just go out to the moon or whatever, you had to take your cord, your anacharana, with you. And if you had your anacharana connected and then you kept this as your lifeline, you would go as far as you needed to, because the anacharana would take you as far as you needed to go. And then you'd say, oh, fine, I've had a lovely time. And then you just would come back through and down the anacharana, and you would come back into your body. And I thought, wow, that's really cool. Well, actually, I found that that was a little limiting. I really wanted to be able to completely go into the formless and know that I would completely come back into the form. And if it's that, if it's your belief, that's what you're going to experience. If your belief is you need the anacharana, honey, just go right out there with that anacharana. Just go right on out there, and then you'll make your way back. I said, why can't I, since everything is God, why wouldn't I want it to be totally free within God in all form and formlessness, and to be able to return to my body whenever I would like? Okay? I mean, we make choices. And I said, that's my choice. I want to be able to experience the formless fully and experience my form fully. Most people want to leave their bodies. Why? Why do people want to leave their bodies, folks?
They're uncomfortable.
They're uncomfortable being here. They have not had self-love, self-compassion, self-discipline, and we're talking about self-awareness here. To have a degree, such a degree of self-awareness, that you know when you're there and when you're here, when you're in the formless and when you're in form. And I love both. I love form. Don't you love form? I loved everything in form. I don't mean just the human form. I mean everything, even this chair, everything, the carpet, everything. Because it's all alive. It's all light. Just looks like it's what it looks like. It just looks like it's the firmament. But it's not. It's light. So I'm just going from this vibration of light to another vibration of light, am I not? And I'm going to finer and finer vibrations of light anytime I choose. And when I am in communication with those who are in the formless, it means that the light which I am and the light which they are so totally in sync. That's how I can recognize who it is. I can recognize this is so-and-so in the formless. Okay? Now, does that sound weird? No. This is just everyday being in and out of the body. I believe that it's like breath. You know, you in-breathe and you out-breathe. And when I go into the formless, I am breathed into the formless. I just follow the breath of the formless because it's breath. And when I return, it's like another breath and I'm here. And this is fully aware of what's happening in the formless. I do not lose any awareness while I'm in the formless. So if you decide that you would like to experience the formless, and I certainly acknowledge that it's a good thing to experience, it's a very good thing to experience. And if you don't want to, not a problem. Not a problem. But if it's truly part of who you are to experience it, then I honor that as you practice, it will become part of your life. When I make the calls, and I'll be making the calls at the end of the evening, and I call for all souls who are in the embodiment now, all souls who are leaving the embodiment now, and all souls who are coming into the embodiment now. And I watch, when I make those calls, I watch the souls that are leaving the embodiment and the souls that are coming into the embodiment. And I am one of those individuals. Part of my function on the earth plane is to be at that place between form and formlessness, and all souls who are passing into form, and all souls who are leaving the form, and then all souls who are coming into the form. And I am at that gateway of energy. And when I was asked to do that, because they're, you know, you're asked to do certain things once you see who you are and what your life is going to be like. And so as a result of that, before, when I awaken in the morning and I begin my work, my inner work, and I invite all the souls who are going to either be leaving, coming into, or the result of whatever is happening tumultuously in their lives, that I can hold energetically in love what that aspect of energy is that they're going through, because sometimes it can be a very sudden change. For instance, when there is a plane crash and everybody dies, everyone has a soul agreement that they will die together. That's what they agreed on. They will die together. Now, they don't necessarily remember that, but when that happens, that's what it is. There can be other agreements where, for instance, those individuals who climb Everest and these great mountains, and things happen and certain individuals may die during that particular climb, and that too is a soul agreement that they would pass at that place. Then there are others of us who are here to help accompany many, many souls who are going to be passing during this time. And I'm aware, with the conflicts going on all over the world, some we know about, many of them we do not, where souls are continually leaving as a result of these conflicts. And I'm also aware of all the souls who are coming in to embodiment at this time. And then all of us who are in embodiment and how radiant our souls are. So if any of this feels right to you, you can add this to your time of meditation, where you can honor the souls who are leaving and the souls who are coming in. You can honor the souls who are here now. And every moment that you hold any of that energy, you are serving all that is, which is the divine. And because we are the divine, we are God made manifest in the physical, it means that we are the ones who have said we will hold the energy, whether in form or formlessness, while we're here on the earth plane. And if you don't want to do it, don't do it. It's not your job. This just happens to be my job. And I'm telling you about it because for some of you, it could be your job. I'm not pointing fingers to anyone. There are a few people that might have this job. And if you know you have a job, then joyfully, you can do your job, okay? Three things that I would like to speak. These are three extraordinary energies. Each one is less than four words. One's four words. They were the first teachings that I received probably 40, 50, well, I see, I'm 70 now, so I probably got this in my late 20s, early 30s. The first one is, God is. Just feel the truth of that. God is. Number two, God is love. Nothing but love. Number three, you are love. Nothing but love. Number four, you are God. God is. God is love. You are love. You are God. You are form and you are formless. You are all that is. And you have chosen one of the most extraordinary things that a soul can ever experience, which is to be in embodiment. This is, it just gives me goosebumps, excuse me. This is the most extraordinary experience a soul can have. Yes, wear the embodiment lightly. Wear the embodiment lightly, but wear it knowing how extraordinary it is and the amazing soul agreements that we've all made so that we could be here in these extraordinary bodies. You chose everything, everything, because you said, I will learn from this everything that I am to learn in this embodiment. Here is the most profound, pardon me, the most profound teacher. This is a profound teacher. And out of this knowing of this profound teacher, you will always have teachers. Everyone is my teacher. There's no one who is not my teacher. Everyone is my teacher. And they continually teach me. And I want to be so open to every teaching. Because when it's time for me to leave, I want to have a party. I'm telling you now ahead of time. So that everybody will say, I found out Mary's going to die. Let's have a party. Yes, I want a big party. I want everybody dancing and laughing. And oh, it's just going to be fabulous. So, I speak of these things tonight because I realize that we are moving very quickly through the consciousness of all that is. Life passes like that. And you think, this day was very long. Maybe you've had a very long day today. And if so, you may be saying, I don't really get this part. It passes very quickly. And at the same time, it is timeless and spaceless. It has fantastic drama, and no drama at all. Everything that you think it is, it's not. And everything you think it's not, it is. We can never pin it down, because it doesn't want to be pinned down. The soul says, no, I'm just having a good time. I'm hanging out here. Oh, yeah. I tell you what, the blessing of being here, I call it beyond the beyond. There is no way that we can ever thank the divine which we are enough for allowing us to come into embodiment and to experience what we're experiencing. It is so wonderful, magnificent. There are no words to truly describe the experience that we're having. And the fact that we can have it with each other. Do you know what that means? I want to tell you, I had so many embodiments where I was all by myself. Anybody else remember those embodiments? Yeah. I had a series of embodiments. I was in a room. I never left that room. I'd come in through a generation of consciousness where we were like seers. I'm a seer, but that was all we did was see. I was in this room, and people would come in one door, and they would stand in front of me, and they would say whatever they're going to say, and then I would do my thing, and they would leave. It was like this. And I had one person who took care of me, fed, you know, brought me food, and took care of my bodily needs. It was lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. And I happened to be in Greece, and I happened to go to Adelphi, and I happened to be on the place where they say that, you know, the seer of Adelphi was. And this whole embodiment descended upon me, and I thought, oh, Lord. Well, I had a bunch of those. And finally I said, enough already. This being alone stuff does not work. I said, I have got to be in embodiments where I'm with people so that I can have an interaction with other souls to see what it is like with the multitude of variety of consciousness that's on the planet. And so most of the embodiments I've had since that time have been with groups of people and working with people and people working with me and so on and so forth. So I want to honor that you all being in this room are a testament to the power of the divine to bring people together and say, would y'all just like to hang out for a little bit together? Mm-hmm. Now the reason that I love to hug you, of course you know I'm giving you a transmission, you do understand that. Everybody know that? Okay. So I'm giving you a transmission while that's going on. Now while we're in the room, the soul is going, everybody's soul in this room is going, boom, 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 boom. That energy is just rocking right through our bodies. And you may say, oh, I don't feel a thing. I see some eyes dropping. Oh, that's a real good sign. To stay awake while this energy is moving, you have to really be present. Because one of the most seductive things on the planet is what? Spirit. Spirit wants to seduce you. And will seduce you as much as possible. Right? Everybody nod your heads up and down. Yes! Spirit just says, let me get in this body and just have a wonderful time. And over here's another body and I get fun over there too. I mean, wow! I'm seduced by nature every day. I'm seduced by breath every day. Every time I get in the water, I'm totally seduced. I do not want to get out. I do not want to leave. I want to just be there in this watery wonderment. We're being seduced all the time. And for us to be loving in that seduction and enjoy the seduction and say, oh, far out, man, all right, I like this seduction, okay? Don't be afraid to be seduced by spirit. Any other seduction? We have to be on our toes about that seduction.